Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
And we're D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Oh, my God. The amount of emails and texts that I got today about this show is going to be, as that one guy says on YouTube, absolutely bonkers.
Yeah,
I know. He's going to be emailing me saying, you took my word, you my copyright. He doesn't have a copyright on it. So,
yeah.
So I think, and I'll give him a plug, Real Estate Mindset on YouTube. I like to listen to that guy. But he starts all his shows up with absolutely bonkers. And apparently this week has been. So I think we need to go right into, our guest today talking about the quarantine camps in New York State, Bobby Ann Cox, who filed the lawsuit in New York State with George Borrello, Chris Tagg, and I lost the last name there. Who is it? Borrello, Assemblyman Chris Tagg, and Assemblyman Lauer, who's now heading to Congress for representing New York State.
And for those of you that don't know, what happened was Queen Kathy or Smiley, whatever you want to call her, went around the legislature, and she went to the Department of Health and made a rule that, there's no due process, there's no speedy trial, there's no nothing. You know, if they deem that you're a threat to society for any reason at all, you know, they'll say health reasons, but any reason at all, then you go to jail, directly to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200. They've got these FEMA quarantine camps, and I guess in China there's one of them that's got 70,000 beds.
Yeah.
Now let's look at it this way. That's bigger than West Seneca. That's about three-quarters the size of Amherst.
Well, for those of you that are listening worldwide or nationwide, this is areas in western New York that he's referencing.
Yeah, towns in western New York.
Right.
So, 70,000, think about how many towns there are all over the world that are less than 70,000 people.
Yeah.
And the Chinese have a couple billion, but, you know, let's get realistic, right?
Well, what's happening is the Chinese are fighting back, and they're starting to back off on these quarantine
mm-hmm.
rules and these COVID, what they're calling them, COVID restrictions. Keep you safe, COVID. I mean, some of the videos that I've literally been seeing from China, I mean, they are just surreal. I mean, they take people out of their houses. They take people out of their apartments. And what about those people that got burned alive? I mean, there was 10 or 15 people, I think, that got burned alive because they were on lockdown in their apartment because I guess they wouldn't test or they wouldn't do something.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And, the place started on fire and they burned alive. I mean, that is just some sick stuff.
You know, and luckily for us, we have private ownership of guns in this country still. You know, I mean, it's an effort. But, you know, if they try to come in and, you know, take people out of their homes, I think they'll not only be dragging people out, they'll be taking some lead with them.
Well, maybe.
You know,
maybe. It depends. I mean, people are, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But to kind of go back on New York State here for a second and what happened today, a big deal happened today. Obviously, we know, when we look back on 2019, we know what happened with Cuomo. We know what happened with the religious exemption and how it affected 26,000 families and what they did. You know, they got rid of the religious exemption, and kids were either forced to vaccinate to go to school, homeschool, or move. You know, and now they're going to be trying to push this COVID vaccine for kids. And what happened today was they had a very special meeting, as we call it in New York State, which does not involve the legislation at all. And I want to read this. And this was from a lawyer's office. I'm not sure how to say that name. Michael Dimitro, I think.
Dimitrio.
Yeah. And basically the bottom line of this is they had an emergency meeting today with the Department of Health, and every single one of them voted yes to implement the health commissioner to make decisions regarding masks, vaccines, et cetera, you know, as they deem necessary here. And they also passed a regulation for minors to be able to consent to the HPV vaccine, the monkeypox vaccine, and HIV treatment without parental consent.
Yes, since when? Now, last I knew, and, you know, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but last I heard, until you're 18, the parents are liable for any criminal acts that the kids commit. So let's say the kids break a window in the school and they get caught. Well, the parents have to pay for it. The kids aren't responsible because they're minors. The parents have to pay for it. So now all of a sudden, these kids can make decisions for themselves about their health, but the parents are still responsible for them.
Right.
You know, well, what the hell is going on here?
Well, the thing is, and this is the push, and this is the agenda, and this agenda is nothing new. We talk about it every week. We're talking about the New World Order, population control, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, if we can get these kids vaccinated, we know what's going on with the vaccine. You know, if you're listening to this show, you probably have some idea about what's been happening with the vaccine, right?
Yep. Well, I was listening to David Bellavia today while I was driving around, and he said that it's been documented that 60% of the COVID deaths are from the people that are vaccinated. Now, explain that. Well, first of
right.
all, it's not a vaccine. It's a shot. Let's call it spade a spade. It hasn't been tested for 7 years like any other vaccine. You know, this was they came out with it, they invented it, and they're giving it to people, and there's a lot of bad side effects, lots and lots of bad side effects.
Like death.
Like 60% of the people dying had the vaccine, the shot, the COVID shot.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not doing any good.
Well, I mean, even today, and if we want to talk about the jab for a second, and I do call it the jab, but I guess what happened was, of course my computer doesn't want to work fast enough. Facebook is not letting me do anything today, but the jet starter is out for the season after doctors discover blood clots.
And they're totally
perplexed by this. And he wasn't the only one. I guess the Carolina Panthers defensive end, gentleman named Henry Anderson, he was in the hospital for a quote-unquote minor stroke, and the doctors are totally baffled.
Yeah.
You know, because these are athletes, right? Totally baffled.
Not just any athletes. They're world-class, you know, athletes. You know, in the top 0.5%
right.
of athletes in the world, and all of a sudden they're coming down with this weird stuff.
Yeah, all of a sudden they have heart problems. So, you know, there's no coincidence here. We talk about this every week, and, you know, if you guys have not watched the show, what was the name of it? I'm losing it here. The one on the vaccine.
Yeah, sudden death or something like that?
It died suddenly.
Died Suddenly, yeah.
Yeah. That you got to watch it. That right there will tell you everything you need to know about it.
It's only an hour and 9 minutes, something like that. And it's so interesting that hour and 9 minutes goes in the blink of an eye.
100% worth the wait, or worth the watch, and worth the wait if you haven't watched it.
Yeah.
So, I've had several people contact our page asking about the zeolite that helps detox. You cannot detox mRNA. You can't do it, but you can detox some of the other junk out of vaccines. And I am not an advocate for any vaccine. I believe that God gave us an immune system, and being the mother of a vaccine-injured child, there is no way that I would ever give my kid this vaccine, not just to attend school, but to attend anything. Don't do it. Do not put masks back on your kids to go back to school. I am sorry, but if 80,000 people can be at a football game, they don't need to be masked. In fact, there was I think it was Pee Wee or Mee Wee or something like that, child care in Orchard Park, New York, which is a south town of Buffalo, New York. I decided that they were going to put masks back on kids today.
Yeah, and I guess Queen Kathy, you know, Smiley, they came up with a recommendation to start wearing masks again in school. A recommendation. You know, we'll see if the recommendation becomes an executive order or something in the future. But right now it's a recommendation.
Well, I don't even think it's going to be an executive order. We're talking about legislation starting on January 5th. And some of the bills that they have upcoming are absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific. And I think I posted those on our D&D page on Facebook, so you guys can check those out. But, you know, I've had a lot of people contacting me this week. You know, we're talking about the chemtrails, which, they're contrails. No, they're not. They're chemtrails. And
not vapor trails, chemtrails.
Yeah, and how can I detox from these vaccines? You could, like I said, you could not detox that DNA material, but you can detox the other crap with it. So the zeolite, which is, if you go to Hope Health, so it's H-O-P-E Health .thegoodinside.com. So it's Hope Health .thegoodinside.com. There's a whole bunch of products there that I totally recommend, not just to help detox. What it does is the zeolite crosses a blood-brain barrier. I've had people that have used it for Alzheimer's, early onset, whole bunch of different stuff. And if you order $49 worth of stuff, you get a free product. So definitely check it out. You know, definitely worth taking it. I have seen people do miraculous recoveries with this stuff. Yeah. And the greens are tolerable. If you put them in a smoothie, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So anyway, check that out.
You try to kill the taste with something, yeah.
Right, right. But
just don't spill
green,
a drop of it on your white shirt.
just given what's going on, and I was in one of the local large grocery stores today, and you could see the shortages finally starting to happen. We're temporarily out of stock. Sorry, we're out of stock, blah, blah, blah. And any of you that have been listening to us talking about prepping, you know, these things are coming. And it's pretty apparent. So, you know, anyway, what else do we want to talk about? I know that our guest is... is on our switchboard, so we're going to bring her on shortly and totally honored to have her on. But just a recap, you can listen to our shows on freedomizerradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, iHeartRadio.com, and Apple. And I have to tell you, we've been at this for just almost a year now, right? I think we're on 11 months. And our listeners have exploded, and we totally appreciate that. Totally appreciate it. We've gotten some really big names, and Bobby Ann is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we have on Rita Palmer and John Gilmore. Rita Palmer from My Kids, My Choice, and John Gilmore from the Autism Action Network. Two fantastic people, two huge freedom fighters fighting for our kids' rights in Albany. We can't wait to have them on. The following week we have on John Selka, who is an assemblyman in Central New York. He's going to be talking about Divide New York and what's going to be happening in legislation in New York come January. Because I'm telling you, it is going to get ugly. It's already getting ugly. She's already doing things behind the legislation's back, you know, which is classic for them.
Yeah, for the dictators.
Classic.
For the dictators.
Yeah, for the dictatorship of New York State.
Yep.
So while everybody's worried about your football game, you all better start paying attention to what is going on in legislation in New York State, because they will have some kind of distraction to distract you from what really is happening. I know we have a lot of listeners tonight. I'm really excited for the show.
Okay, and Bobby Ann, are you there? I just switched you to on, so if you're talking to your phone, we should be able to hear you.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to have you on.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we're lucky enough to be personal friends with George Borrello, who's in our area. We actually party with him at Sunset Bay, the place that he owns. So, and, you know, you have done a fantastic job with fighting New York State in these quarantines. So what I'd like to tell our listeners, we have a lot of people listening, I'd like to kind of recap what the quarantine law was about and what you did to fight this.
And also, at some point, you're allowed to plug your business. You know, I've got your website up here, but you could let people know how to get hold of you, what kind of law you practice, and stuff like that. So you're allowed, you know, you're allowed to plug yourself here.
Yeah, 100%. And we are on live radio, so there is a slight delay when we're speaking. So if we interrupt you or talk over you, we apologize.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Yeah, so Senator George Borrello is the lead plaintiff on my lawsuit, as you know. And he, together with Assemblyman Chris Tague, who represents the central New York, like Albany area, and then also Assemblyman Mike Lawler, who currently represents part of Rockland County, just outside New York City. He actually now is headed to Congress. He ran for the House, and he won his election just a couple of weeks ago. So he'll now be heading to Washington, D.C. to represent Rockland County, part of Westchester, Putnam, and Dutchess. And so anyway, those three lawmakers, together with a citizens group called Uniting New York State, we sued Governor Kathy Hochul back in the spring, together with her Department of Health and Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett, who's the commissioner of the Department of Health, and the Health Planning Council. So we sued them over this regulation that they made, which was called Isolation and Quarantine Procedures, and it was found at 10 NYCRR 2.13. And what it said basically was they wrote this regulation and gave themselves the power to pick and choose which New Yorkers they could lock up or lock down. They could lock you down in your home, or they could have removed you from your home and put you into a facility of their choosing. You had no say. There was no time restraint. So they could have held you down or locked you into a facility for days, for weeks, for months. There was no age restriction. So they could have done this to you, but they could have also done this to your child or your grandchild or your elderly parent. They put in there that they could use local law enforcement to enforce their orders of isolation or quarantine. So you could have literally gotten a knock on the door, and it could have been the local sheriff or police telling you that you had to go with them or your child had to go with them, because the Department of Health had issued a quarantine order. And there was no way for you to get out of isolation or quarantine once you were in. So what I mean by that is, you know, I was doing oral arguments in front of the judge back in the spring, and the judge asked the Attorney General's office, you know, he said, so let's say you take a family, let's say you put them into a facility, like a hospital, let's say, and they're in there and you're telling them they have to quarantine. How do they get out? And there was a pretty long pause, and then the Attorney General's office basically said, well, you know, they could hire a lawyer and they could sue. So, you know, if you think about what that regulation did, it was, first of all, pretty scary. But second of all, I mean, just 100% authoritarian rule. I mean, they didn't have to prove you were sick. They didn't have to prove you were exposed to a disease. They could have just said, well, we think, I don't know, maybe you were exposed, maybe you weren't, I don't know, but here's your isolation or your quarantine order. And just no due process, no protections for the citizen at all were built into that regulation. So someone had brought this to my attention, a member of Uniting New York State, and I read the regulation, and you know, I mean, they said, is this for real? And I said, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's for real, but there's no way it's legal. So, so I drafted the lawsuit, and the theory behind it is, you know, breach of separation of powers. The governor and the Department of Health do not have the power to make a regulation like this. This regulation, if anything, it had to come from the legislature. Right? The legislature is the lawmaking body in our government. The executive branch, which is where the governor sits and the Department of Health sits, that's the branch that's supposed to enforce the laws that are made by the legislature. So the governor and the Department of Health can't make laws. An agency has to have a directive from the legislature. There has to be an enabling statute, we call it, for the agency to do something, you know, to create a regulation. And in this case, that is not what happened. There was not an enabling statute. The legislature did not want the Department of Health to make a regulation like this. And in fact, I'm not sure if you're familiar or not, but there was a proposed law that was proposed in the New York State Assembly for 7 years, from 2015 through 2021. Assemblyman Nick Perry, who was a Democrat from New York City, and he did propose a law that was very similar to this regulation, but it failed. For 7 years, it failed. Nobody would touch that bill. Nobody, not one other New York State legislator, got behind that bill. So this is the story of a governor and her Department of Health who basically took the language from a failed bill and made it a regulation and tried to impose it upon the people.
Yeah, Barack Obama is famous for this, and I coined the term legislation through regulation. You know, there's no way anybody was, like you said, was going to put their political career on the line by supporting something like that. So they just went around the legislature and tried to do it through regulation of, you know, the Department of Health. And, you know, Obama did the same thing with the EPA and the IRS. And, you know, from what you're saying, it sounds too like, you know, this country is slowly becoming you're guilty until proven innocent. It used to be that with the IRS, I don't know if anybody's ever had any issues with the IRS, you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent. They'll take the money right out of your account, and then you've got to fight to get it back if they think they're right. And now it seems like more and more we're no longer a country of innocent until proven guilty. We're guilty until proven innocent, from what you said. The way to get out of their facility was to hire a lawyer. That's ridiculous.
100%.
Yeah, it was totally unconstitutional. The Constitution basically it says, whether you're talking about this New York State Constitution or you're talking about the federal Constitution, they both have provisions that say that laws and regulations, for that matter, have to have due process protections built into them, so that the government doesn't abuse its power, doesn't overstep, and doesn't injure the citizens. And due process, you know, I mean, here in New York, we have a quarantine law. We've had a quarantine law on the books for 70 years. And it's really obvious that this regulation completely conflicted with that quarantine law that we've had for decades already. The quarantine law we have has many due process protections built into it, as it should. And the number one due process protection that our quarantine law has is that you have to actually have the communicable disease that we're talking about before they can take, you know, go to step number two. And there are a lot of due process protections in that law. You know, there has to be an investigation. They have to prove not just that you have a communicable disease, but that you are conducting yourself in such a manner that you are a threat to those around you. So it's not like the law says, oh, you know, you have tuberculosis or you have monkeypox, and therefore, you know, we can issue you an isolation or a quarantine order. No, they have to actually have an investigation done. You have the right to an attorney. There's a hearing before a magistrate. You know, there are all these protections built into the law, and they have to be able, they have to prove that you are actually conducting yourself in a threatening manner. You know, you're going around coughing all over everybody, or, you know, sneezing and, you know, wiping your hands on everybody. You know, you have to be not acting in a proper manner to try and protect other people from your disease. So, you know, I mean, and here we are with the governor and the commissioner of health coming along and saying, oh, you know, that's nice, but we're going to ignore all that, and we're just going to make this regulation and give ourselves this amazing power to in essence, control 19 million New Yorkers, you know, with the click of our mouse on our computer. You know, completely unconstitutional. And you're right. This is nothing new as far as, you know, government overreach, executive branch doing things they're not supposed to do, you know, taking the power from the legislature. It's not new. And Biden is doing it, you know, left and right. I mean, we just saw actually this summer, the EPA, he had the EPA issue a regulation which completely conflicted with the Federal Clean Air Act. It was about clean air emissions and facilities with air emissions. And, you know, they got sued, and the case went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And, yep, sure enough, the Supreme Court struck down the regulation and said, no, EPA, you can't make a regulation that conflicts with existing law. Like, that's not the way it works in the world of separation of powers. And the court struck it down. Just like they struck down, if you remember, they struck down back in January of this year, the OSHA mandate, where Biden had OSHA issue a regulation last year that said that any employer in the United States with 100 or more employees had to force their employees to get the COVID shot. Otherwise, they had to mask at work and they had to test weekly and all this stuff. So that also went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court struck it down. They said, no, OSHA, you cannot make a regulation like this. You don't have the power. You know, this is a power reserved for Congress. If Congress wants to make a law like this, then Congress has to make a law like this. But, you know, you, OSHA, you're an agency, you're in the executive branch under Biden. No, you cannot do this. You do not have the power. And we saw the same thing last year. You know, the Supreme Court struck down the CDC eviction moratorium. You know, the Center for Disease Control does not get to tell landlords across the country what they can and cannot do, right? They cannot take the power of contract and free market, that they're not allowed to curb that. And that's what they did when the CDC issued an eviction moratorium nationwide and landlords couldn't evict their tenants for non-payment of rent. And again, they were sued. It went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And last summer, the Supreme Court struck it down and said, no, CDC, you are an agency. You are in the executive branch. You do not have the power to do this. So, you know, it's a trend, and it's a very dangerous trend. because if you think about it, the problem with breach of separation of powers is that the voters then don't have a say. So the lawmakers, whether it's Congress on the federal level or it's the New York State Legislature on the state level, they are the ones that we elect into office every couple of years. And if we don't like what they're doing, then we get the opportunity to elect them out and put somebody new in there instead. So if you have agencies which are unelected, appointed bureaucrats making rules and regulations that conflict with laws that our elected lawmakers are making, you know, what does that do? That completely turns the system upside down on its head, because mm-hmm. we as the voters don't have the power to remove somebody from, you know, a bureaucrat from an agency.
Right. Right.
Yeah. 100%. So, how do you feel about what happened? I'm sure that you're versed on it already, but what happened with the DOH meeting that they had today? And I guess they all voted yes on implementing health commissioners to make decisions regarding masks and vaccines, et cetera. Again, another, like Dean says, legislation without regulation. Where do you think this stuff is going to go? And how does this figure into what you've done already?
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with exactly what went on at the health department today, because I did not watch the proceedings. But I definitely can tell you that this is a trend that they and this is what I was, you know, preaching about for the past several months, trying to alert voters to the fact that, you know, if you don't change the leadership at the top, meaning the governor in this case, because remember, the governor gets to appoint the commissioners of all the different agencies that are under the governor's office, right? So the Department of Health, the Department of Education, the Department of Transportation, the commissioners of all those departments get appointed by the governor. So if you don't change the leadership at the top, you are going to be faced with another 4 years of this ridiculous tyrannical behavior. And that's what it is. This is tyranny. When one branch of government takes the power from another branch that they are not entitled to, that is tyranny, right? And it's the people who suffer in a tyrannical situation. So this is, we're going to see this absolutely, positively. We're going to be seeing this for the next 4 years, because now Hochul is there for 4 more years. And Letitia James, the Attorney General, is there for 4 more years. And you're going to see this, you know, coming 100%. This is not going to slow down.
No. And even, you know, even with the checks and balances in legislation, I mean, obviously the Democrats outweigh the Republicans. So, you know,
in both houses
in New York. So I think, you know, come January, it's going to get really ugly and interesting here. Because, you know, I feel like, and I'm a product, and I'm sure you know about 2019 and the 26,000 families that got eliminated from schools from them getting rid of the religious exemption. You know, I could see this, but it's even worse. But it's like, you know, you could see the writing on the wall with what they're going to try to do here.
Well, they've had these bills, they've had a number of these bills, you know, floating around the legislature for a couple of years, and there are some in there that are absolutely horrific. And like you're saying, the problem in New York is that, you know, this election didn't change much on November 8th, right? We still have in our legislature in New York State a supermajority of Democrats in both the Assembly and the Senate. Mm-hmm. So, and they have the governor's house and they have the Attorney General's office. So you're going to see the same thing that we saw for the past year with Hochul, you know, since Cuomo stepped down back in August of 2021. You know, you're going to see the same thing because they have a supermajority and they have zero incentive to not carry out their agenda. You know, there's nothing stopping them except for the people. And it is absolutely crucial that the voters step up and get involved and be vocal. Even though the election is now passed, that doesn't mean everybody goes to sleep for two more years, right? I mean, this is the time when you need to be making the phone calls, sending the emails, making an appointment to meet with your legislators. You know, people have got to get active. You know, it's people sticking their heads in the sand that got us into this mess in the first place, right? Yeah. When people aren't paying attention to what the government's doing, you know, I mean, the government's going to just run amok. I think we've seen that very clearly here in New York.
Yeah, 100%. I remember back in 2019 when, you know, people would say, oh, well, that doesn't affect me. I'm still sending my kids to school. They're caught up on their vaccines. Well, guess what? You know, one of the bills that's sitting there, which is A8378 from Dinowitz, you know, that's mandatory COVID shots for K-12. So all of a sudden, you know, these people are going to be in the position that we were in, you know, and that is some scary stuff because there's either going to be a lot of homeschoolers or, you know, a lot of kids that are going to be very sick. So.
Yeah, there are, that is one of the bills, which is obviously absurd. There's another one that is, I write a Substack every week, and I had published an article last month about this one. Now we're in December, so it was 2 months ago. I published an article about this other A9963, which is currently proposed in the Assembly, and it's just absolutely unbelievable. You know, it basically allows minor children to make decisions for themselves based on any sort of health procedure or medical procedure they want to have.
Yeah.
So it completely eliminates parental rights. So even if a parent doesn't want their minor child to have a certain medical procedure, it doesn't matter if you object, because this bill, if it becomes a law, would allow the minor child to overrule the parent.
Yep, and that basically eliminates any type of liability or anything else. And that bill is actually sponsored by Gottfried, who is just, you know, he's like one of the worst Democrats in New York, aside from Holliman and Dinowitz. The three of them should just be eliminated in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, Dinowitz has got a whole bunch of bills just like that. You know, mandatory COVID shots for college students, mandatory flu shots. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them out there that, you know, I really feel that these are going to come up front and center once they start legislation.
Now, let me ask you something. So you can correct me if I'm wrong. But at this point in time, if a minor, you know, and I used this example earlier, let's say somebody under 18 takes a brick and throws it through the school window and security cameras catch it and they know who it is, are the parents still liable for that minor's damage? It used to be. I don't know if that's still the case.
I believe it is, but this bill that's proposed that we were just talking about, it flips it. It makes it such that the minor child can, I mean, they could walk into a medical facility and say, hey, you know, start me on some hormone blockers here. You know, hey, look, you know, I'm 12 years old and you know, I'm male, but, you know, I really want to be female. So, you know, hook me up with some hormone blockers, you know, and a parent could say, well, wait a minute, whoa, let's talk about this. No, the parent, actually, that bill says if the parent wanted to find out what procedure the child is undergoing, that unless the child agrees, the medical facility will not tell the parent what they're doing to the child. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable that somebody would think this up, let alone procure it as a law, right?
Yeah.
Then there's the other one that I also wrote a Substack on. It's Assembly Bill A6613, and the Senate, the sister Senate bill is S2584A. And this one would require all schools in New York State to teach, quote, comprehensive sexuality education.
Oh, yeah.
Starting in kindergarten,
yeah,
and going up through 12th grade. So this would require that schools teach babies, I mean, five-year-olds,
right,
about sex education. It's disgusting.
We didn't learn this stuff. I think I took one health class, and it was in my junior year of high school, you know, and they barely touched on this stuff. So, you know, the public schools are just big indoctrination centers. And if this type of stuff passes, I mean, these kids are in trouble. That's all I have to say. Because, I mean, I teach at a homeschooling co-op, and, you know, these kids, they ask me. You know, we were sitting around the table today learning about the ear, and somehow we get on the subject of, you know, some of these things that you're talking about. And I'm like, my God, and these are homeschool kids that are questioning this stuff. You know, what is a transgender? What is a transgender? And I'm like, oh, my God, how do I have a lesson on this? You know, it's really scary stuff. It really is.
And I'm teaching at a homeschool thing, too. And I've got older kids, you know, 9th through 12th grade. And the chapter 16 in the book is all about sex ed. So I wrote the parents an email and said, look, I'd rather, you know, I personally don't want to teach this. You know, I'll skip this chapter. But, and I believe this is the kind of stuff that should be taken care of in the home, not in the school. And every single one of them agreed with me. So I'm off the hook.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the way it should be, whether your child's going to a public school or a parochial school or a private school. Parents should have a say in what their children are being taught and at what age. You know, this is the fact that we have to sit here and tell people that should be a basic right, a basic fundamental happening in all schools. The fact that we have to even say it shows how much our society has gone astray.
Absolutely.
It really has. And, you know, the silver lining about, you know, that whole, you know, Zoom school, you know, going to schools being closed physically and going to school through the computer, the silver lining on that was that parents got to see a lot of what was being taught in the schools, which they didn't really know before because their child is dropped off in the morning and then picked up in the afternoon. And most children don't tell their parents every single thing that goes on during the school day, right? So I think it opened a lot of parents' eyes to what's going on in the schools. And thankfully, you know, the bold parents are willing to stand up and say, absolutely not. That is inappropriate at this age.
Well, you know, Bobby, I don't know if you knew this or not, but COVID can go through the internet, the wireless, and jump across a wireless network, go in the wires, and affect all the rest of the kids that are virtually learning. Because, you know, when they had all the virtual learning at the beginning of COVID, you couldn't even zoom into the classroom unless you were vaccinated for some reason or another.
Right, unless you were caught up.
Mm-hmm. On your
vaccine. My goodness.
Yeah.
Absolutely
so
ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, last weekend I was down in Miami, Florida for the Brownstone Institute conference, and it was really there was an underlying theme of you know, I like to just call it going back to basic logic, right? The basic idea of critical thinking. And it was so refreshing to be around so many other people that do engage in critical thinking. And the other panelists that were involved, I was on the legal panel, obviously, but the other panelists involved, you know, there was an economics panel and a legal panel and medical panel and stuff. But it was just so refreshing And the underlying theme was, you know, we have to teach the youth today and even some adults to go back to critical thinking. You know, we cannot just throw out, you know, all sort of thought just because it goes up against the quote unquote mainstream thought, right? And this is so important. And this is, you know, whenever I'm giving a speech, no matter what the audience is, I always work in there the fact that people need to go back to understanding that the Constitution was written to keep the government in check. The Constitution was not written to keep we the people in check, right? It's a brilliant document. It's not perfect, but it's brilliant. And the reason it's brilliant is because it was written by our founding fathers who came from tyranny. They came from living under a tyrannical king who gave them no voice, who gave them no say. They were just subject to his every whim. And they finally said, no more. This is absolutely ridiculous. We're done. They break away. They start their own country. And they wrote the Constitution with that fresh in their minds, right? They wrote it in such a way that if it's followed, that it would prevent tyranny from ever occurring again on these shores. But what we're seeing is the breakdown of the Constitution, and therefore the Constitution is not being honored, and here we have tyrannical situations like we have here in New York now. So
I'm sorry, go ahead. It's a living document. And, you know, personally, I think that, you know, they talk about the miracle of America, the miracle of the United States. And I think it was a miracle that all those guys lived at the same time in the same part of the world, and they all collaborated with each other because, you know, you think about it, maybe you got one here, one there, you know, Ronald Reagan and, you know, but he's there by himself. You know, all the founding fathers, it truly was a miracle that they all lived during the same time and same place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a brilliant document, or it is a brilliant document in my mind. Again, it's not perfect, but it really, they could, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the founding fathers, they must have known this was going to happen. They could foresee this happening. No, it's just that they had just come from this, right? So they had just lived through it. So they just said, we are going to write this Constitution, and we're going to try and make it such that this won't happen again. You know, generations down the line, this won't happen again. So this is what people need to be, you know, we need to be teaching the Constitution. It is not taught in schools. It is not taught, you know, I really didn't learn deeply about the Constitution really till law school, right? In your first year of law school, it's one of the required courses. But it should be a required course for all ages, starting in kindergarten and going straight up through 12th grade. It's super important, and it allows people to understand that we have the power, right? The government doesn't have the power over us. We have the power. We put those politicians in office, and they're supposed to do our bidding. So it's super important for people to remember that and to understand. And I hope that your listeners will check out my Substack, because I do write on varying topics. A lot of times it is constitutionally inclined, but and it's free. The Substack is free. Of course, you can sign up for a subscription if you want, but otherwise it is free. And it's at attorneycox.substack.com if anybody wants to check it out. You can also link to it from my website, which is coxlawyers.com. There's a link to get to my Substack from there as well. But yeah, this is an information war. You know, we have to share information that is good and truthful with more people, because for the most part, the mainstream media is censoring the things that need to be heard by the masses.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they are. You know, people that watch mainstream media, they really don't know any other side of things.
No, They don't. It's very, it's understandably upsetting when you're trying to share information. I mean, going back to my lawsuit with Senator Borrello, Assemblyman Tague, and Assemblyman Lawler, you know, people didn't know, people still don't know about the quarantine regulation. They didn't know about the lawsuit. They didn't know that we won. You know, it was, you would talk to people about it and they would literally think that you were making it up. Like, oh, conspiracy theory. And I'm thinking, I just spent my entire 2022 fighting this case. No, it is not a conspiracy theory. You know, here's the judge's decision. Why don't you take a look, right? So it's so, the censorship is so thick that we really do have to go to alternative media and news sources, you know, like Substack, for example. You know, the Epoch Times will often pick up my Substack articles and republish them through the Epoch Times. And the Brownstone Institute is also another fantastic form of getting information, a terrific source of information. Brownstone.org is their website. And they are really a beacon of information in this darkness of, you know, mainstream media sweeping everything under the rug that should be heard by the people. So I do encourage people to check out brownstone.org. I also write for them. I'm a contributing author for Brownstone, and I was also just named a 2023 fellow for Brownstone as well. So terrific organization, and you know, this is information that when people get it, it's super important to share it with your friends and your contacts, whether that means, you know, posting it on your social media or even just talking about it, you know, in conversation or at events or parties and stuff, because people need to hear what's going on. It is crazy that New Yorkers don't know that Hochul and Letitia James wanted to be able to, you know, throw you into quarantine facilities. It's crazy to me that people didn't know that or don't know that.
Absolutely. So what do you think is going to happen with your case? Are they going to try to appeal this, or what do you think is going to happen ultimately?
So the judge ruled in our favor in July. And about a week later, the Attorney General's office filed a notice of appeal, but they did not pursue the appeal to this point, which I'm not surprised about because, you know, there was an election coming up. I didn't think that they were going to do an appeal prior to the election. I don't think Hochul and Letitia James wanted New York voters to know what they were up to. You know, now the election has passed, so I don't know if they're going to go ahead with that appeal or not, but, you know, I would think it's, if they do, it's completely shameful because, of course, they're going to be using our tax dollars to fight an appeal on a regulation which is so clearly unconstitutional and so clearly something that the voters didn't want and the voters' representatives in the legislature didn't want. So in my mind, if they did pursue an appeal, it would just be shameful.
Yeah, that's the shame about New York State politics. You know, and I hate to say it, but these Democrats, they pass laws that are unconstitutional, and they don't care because they defend it with our tax dollars. They defend themselves with our tax dollars. But then, you know, like for your case, George Borrello was, you know, asking people for donations, and it was privately funded, you know, to pay for your time, which you need, you know, to get paid for your time. And I see on your website you've got, you know, three main areas of practice: government or overreach, property tax assessment reductions, and real estate transactions. You want to talk a little bit about the other things that you do?
Sure. Yeah. So my practice before COVID was all about property tax certiorari and representing property owners against the local municipalities And then real estate transactions, you know, assisting people with buying and selling real property. And then now with all the COVID restrictions and whatnot, there's been a big shift in my practice, and I'm doing a lot of the regulatory agency, you know, pushback. And the government overreach comes from, you know, multiple levels. So there's a lot to be done and a lot to be pushed through. So yeah, I mean, if people want to check out my website, it's coxlawyers.com. It's a pretty comprehensive website, and if you want updates on the case and things that are going on and that I'm involved with, you can certainly check out my website. There's also a website specifically for this lawsuit, the quarantine lawsuit, at unitingnys.com/lawsuit. And then there's also my Substack. As I mentioned earlier, people can get some good information. I post once a week, and the articles are pretty varied in their topics. And that's attorneycox.substack.com. So yeah, hopefully people will check it out. And you know, it's such an important area of law. I want to say of law, but really in society generally speaking right now, especially in New York, because you know, you look around at the other states and they have none of this nonsense going on. You know, I mean, talk to friends that are, you know, out west. I mean, or down in Florida, or you know, Texas, or you know, you talk to them and they're saying, what do you mean? You guys, you still have people wearing masks? You know, I mean, it's New York is like this dystopian area. I mean, California is very similar, so I guess we're not the only one in the nation. But it's all the more reason that citizens need to be aware, to get involved, and to speak up. And the most important thing is to get involved in your local communities. You know, run for your local school board, or run for your local town council or city council. You know, people need to get involved, because if we just sit back and complain instead of doing something, nothing's going to change. And at this point, we do need change.
Yep, absolutely. Now, you know, I'm here at www.coxlawyers.com, and in the upper right-hand corner of the website, it said read the latest articles from my Substack, read now. So you can follow that link and get to our articles. How far back of a history do you have going there? Can you go back a couple of years or 6 months, or how far back does it go?
I started writing the Substack about 6 months ago, and I'm not sure, to be honest. The free subscribers, I think you get a couple months. You can look back a couple of months, but the paid subscribers have access to all the archives, so you can go back a full 6 months if you have the paid subscription. Yeah, and like I said, a lot of times my Substack articles will be picked up by Brownstone Institute and published on their website. So you can also find some of my articles, not all of them, but some of my articles on brownstone.org. If you just go to the author's page and you click on my name, it'll bring up all of the articles that I've written on Brownstone. And the Epoch Times, too, if you go to their website and then you check out, I'm one of the authors listed there, and you can see various articles. Epoch Times also has a paper, an actual physical newspaper type of paper that they send out to certain subscriptions, and they publish some of my articles in there. Yeah, I'm around. You can find me. I highly encourage people to get informed and to stay informed. And if you sign up for my Substack, you will get an automatic email once a week with my new article. Also, Uniting New York State, the citizens group that's on the quarantine lawsuit with Senator Borrello, Assemblyman Tague, and Assemblyman Lawler, they also have a weekly newsletter. If you go to their website and sign up, you can get, once a week, you'll get an email blast from them with what's going on, things around the state. So their website is www.unitingnys.com. So I really encourage people to stay informed. It's the best protection against, really the tyranny and the craziness going on in New York is to be informed and hear about what's coming up, what's, you know, what are they working on, what bills are sitting there in the Assembly or the Senate. And I can't stress enough the need for people to be vocal. Uniting New York State has action groups people can sign up for to get involved and to, you know, do something to try and make a difference here. So it's worth your time to peruse the website and sign up for the emails. Again, it's free. There's no charge for that. And that's unitingnys.com. So, I hope people will take a look. And I thank you both so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. And I have another meeting to jump onto shortly here. So I'll have to run, but I do appreciate your time and what you do to bring, the voice of knowledge and reason to your listeners. It's really important. Did I lose you?
Whoops, are you there?
Oh, yes, I lost you for a minute there.
I'm so sorry. That was our bad. We were on mute. What I wanted to say was I know that you have to go. We totally appreciate you being on. I personally spoke with George Borrello this week. He said to send his best. He's on a little holiday for himself. And, we need more people like you, like George, like several other assemblymen that we know that help. We have a big fight ahead of us. I really feel we have a big fight ahead of us in January, and it's great to know that we have you on our side.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, I appreciate it, and I definitely echo that sentiment. We need to work with our New York State senators and our New York State Assembly members who are, like-minded and on our side, and we have to be sure to support them and thank them because, it took a lot for Senator Borrello and Assemblyman Tague and Assemblyman Lawler to come on this lawsuit. There were a lot of Assembly members and senators I spoke with who believed in what I was doing, but they didn't want to put their name on the lawsuit. For various reasons. So, people like Senator Borrello, Assemblyman Tague, Assemblyman Lawler, I hope that people understand that in my mind, they really are heroes. They stand with the people. They're fighting shoulder and shoulder with us against, these tyrannical notions coming from the governor's office and the agencies. So I hope people will Send a quick email. Say thank you. It definitely puts a smile on everybody's face.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah, it puts a target on your guys' back. So,
right.
we appreciate it.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We know that you have to go to your next meeting, and we're going to get on to some subjects, some other subjects on the show tonight. But thank you so much. We'll be sure that I email back your staff the link once it's up. From the podcast so that you guys could share that out. You've been a pleasure to have on, honestly.
Yes, you have. And an honor to have on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. And yes, we're happy to spread the link. If you want to send it over, we'll definitely share it around.
100%. Thank you so much.
And again, for everybody, it's coxlawyers.com. And you can subscribe to her Substack or Uniting NYS.
Yep, and I put both of those links on our event page and on our Facebook page, so you guys could check that out. Eventually, we'll have our own website, right?
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting there. So we have to go to a commercial break. Thanks again, Bobby Ann. We have to go
Thank
to a commercial
you.
Break before we come back and talk about some other topics going on in New York State and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody can hang tight, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together. Please check out the Proof Negative Radio Show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, that is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative Radio Show. Please check out the Proof Negative Radio Show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristy.com. That's C-O-A-C-H-R-I-S-T-Y christie.com.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
That was an awesome interview.
That
for
was.
Real.
That
yeah,
was.
She did fantastic. I think she shed a lot of light on maybe some points that people did not understand.
Mm-hmm.
As
yep.
to what, yeah, as to what's going on. So I want to talk about some things that have gone on not just outside of New York State.
Yeah.
This week.
Big disappointment was the Georgia Senate race with Herschel Walker. So now the Democrats have 51 to our 49. So Kamala Harris won't be tie-breaking anymore. For those that don't know, she broke more ties the past 2 years than any other vice president in the history of the country.
Or more cheats.
Yeah, right.
Or more cheats. We don't really know, right?
Right, right.
So our beloved Congress today, they passed a bill that protects same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
So I think God is screaming at that one.
Right, right.
So now it's not just a statewide thing. This is now a federal thing.
So, so you know that between now and January 1st, when they swear in the new Congress, and the Republicans will have the majority on that one, they're going to probably be passing a lot
of
crazy
stuff. Yeah, they're
going to
do a lot of dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do a lot of dirty stuff at midnight. So, yep. What else? What else did we go over today? Oh, yeah, the big one. What about that American scientist that came out and who worked for the Wuhan lab?
And, no, I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, he came out and he claimed, which it's not really a claim, it's really the truth if you've been studying this all along, that COVID-19 was genetically engineered, which
Whoa.
We already knew.
Yeah, everybody knew that.
It's
that's,
a man-made
that's old
virus,
news.
Yeah. Well, it's old news, but, I mean, this guy came out and spoke about it. Right, like he literally said, I worked here and this literally really happened.
And so what I want to hear is part two. Okay, we know it was engineered or whatever. How did it get out?
Mm-hmm.
Did the Chinese just release it, to a few people that were traveling on airplanes?
Yeah, or did they spray it on the chemtrails or watch the water? Or,
yeah.
Who knows?
It wasn't a couple of bats that were flying around and bit people and stuff.
Right, or was
yeah.
it just the flu and,
yeah.
Because remember the flu did disappear, which is now, back. So now we're in this triple pandemic thing.
Right.
Right, with the RSV, COVID, and the flu.
Yeah.
So now, if you live in this time, like in the time that I lived in, we got sick for a few days, stayed home from school, and, mommy made chicken soup. Hi, Mom. And, you were all good to go back. Now, now you're going to kill the whole freaking world.
Well, yeah. I was watching the news a couple of weeks ago, and someone at the CDC was saying, okay, everybody needs to go out and get a flu shot because we've been indoors for the past 2 years, and our immune systems are weakened.
Oh.
So, of course,
it had nothing to do with wearing a diaper on your face.
Yeah.
That did not weaken your immune system at all, we promise, people.
No, because of all the stuff that's growing in your mask.
Right.
Those are supposed to be one-time use, a couple hours, throw it away.
Yeah.
In the parking lot, mind you, and then put another one on.
Yeah, and there are people that still do this. They hang it from the rearview mirror as if it's some virtue signaling, do not hang your mask from the rearview mirror. I am sorry. Don't do it.
I was driving down the road today. I saw a guy by himself in his car wearing a mask.
And since she has come out and said that masks are suggested, I think I was in a local grocery store today, and probably 50% of the people had them back on.
Like,
my God. So you know the stupid from the smart.
Right, right.
You really do. You know the stupid. You know the ones that have had the vaccine because they now have on a mask still.
Yeah, well, the vaccine or the shot kills the immune system. So of course they've got to wear a mask because their immune system is shut down for about 6 weeks after getting the shot.
Yeah, or longer, permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. So what else happened this week? My God, we lost Christy Alley.
Yep.
Who did not, you know, when she advocated against vaccines. And she spoke out a lot about, you know, the tyranny in government. And supposedly she died of an aggressive, unexpected cancer.
Yeah, at what, like 72 years old, something like that?
Yeah, 71 or 72.
Yeah, so she was young. I guess somebody was spiking her water or something.
I don't know. You know, you got to wonder. You know, these people that stand up for the truth, I mean.
Yeah.
I can't think of what the girl's name is, but if Catherine was here, she would know, but she ran a really big, I think it was Vaxxed, maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, she had left a note saying that if anything happens to me,
wasn't
me, yada, yada. And I, you know, her name is slipping my mind right now. And if Catherine was listening, I'm sure she would call in and tell me it was her. But, you know, all of a sudden she appeared dead. You know, she was in her 30s, early 40s.
Yep.
So, you know, they're after the people that know the truth. And that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. I mean, I can't even, on Facebook now, I can't even share our flyer, our informational flyer. They don't allow me to. So there's a lot of callers on our switchboard. So just a reminder that if anybody wants to talk, press 1 to ask questions, unless you all are just listening. So what else? What else is going on? There's just so much, it's mind-boggling to think that we may be on another mask mandate here pretty soon. I'm telling you, I won't do it. I never did it. And that people have got to stand up. Now is the time to stand up. If you don't do it now, we are going to fail completely as a nation. Just completely.
So here's one. Elon Musk exposes potentially criminal censorship and collusion.
Mm.
So
he's on a roll, this guy.
You know, so I heard on the radio, I think it was David Bellavia, he said that suppression of the opposition is fascism. And it wasn't, you know, an author unknown. You know, it wasn't one of his quotes, but he said it, and I heard him say it.
Mm.
And, you know, that's what we've got going on. We've got suppression of the opposition, you know, between, you know, the IRS did it, what, 8 years ago with conservative groups. They were auditing them and stealing their funds.
Yeah.
But he's
interesting because, well, he's done a lot of things since he's taken over Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I was kind of on the fence about the guy, but, I mean, so far, so good, really.
Yeah.
You know, you got to wonder. Or is he just going to do everything all fine and dandy and then all of a sudden you're going to be required to get an electric car? Who knows?
Well, that's what's going to happen here in New York State. You know, he probably, we should check out, you know, like remember who was it? Pfizer gave the state $48 million right after they got rid of the religious exemption.
Yeah.
Or Merck or somebody like that. And,
yeah.
You know, and I wonder if Tesla or one of the subsidiary companies gave New York State a bunch of money for doing the, you know, electric car, you know, no more natural gas, no more propane, no more of any of that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a real thing. Those laws have already passed
mm-hmm.
for that. So that is something that probably is going to happen. I mean, after 2023, they can't even build houses. You can't build a house unless it's all electric.
Yeah,
you know,
and
a lot
anything,
of people don't know that this is going on, but this is the truth.
And it's already passed in New York City. They're already doing it in New York City.
Yeah.
I guess if it's less than 7 stories,
then
it's got to be, fall
under the... That's some scary stuff. And it was Merck that actually invested, you were right on the amount, but it was Merck. Literally the day after, well, it wasn't. It was June 12th that they invested $48 million in Albany. And they do have, I mean, right across from the Capitol building, they have a Merck plant, you know, Merck vaccine plant. And on June 13th was when they got rid of the religious exemption.
Okay.
So, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. You could see the writing on the wall with what is happening with the jabs for the kids for school and the masks. They're doing it perfectly. And if you're really awake and you kind of have an idea of what's going on, you could see this timeline playing out, you know, if you're really paying attention.
You know, and I said this over a year and a half ago. It was March 2021. A couple of my buddies and I were driving out west to ski for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, they're also non-jab, and we were talking about how bad the jab was and this and that and other. And after a couple hours, I said, you know, guys, they're killing everybody off with the jab, but the people they really don't want is us.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? You know, we're the people that they don't want around, not the people that are doing what they say. So what's going to happen? You know, is one of the boosters going to really prevent something, and then they're going to release it so all of us that, you know, aren't jabbed or boosted are going to get something that'll kill us all off? Who knows with these people?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, when we're talking about the spike protein, and this is a real issue now, they're saying that, you know, the unvaccinated are being vaccinated by being exposed to people that have had the jabs.
Yeah,
you know, and there's no real literature out there that says, is there like a 6-foot range or a 3-foot range? But they're saying close contact with people or you know, being around them is shedding that spike protein.
Yeah, and
you know,
so and it's exactly like Diana said from what I've heard. Is that, you know, kissing them, having sex with, you know, if you're kissing somebody that's been jabbed, having sex with somebody that's been jabbed, or close contact with them,
yeah,
they are vaccinating you.
Yeah, that is some scary stuff, because I know people that have just literally are never sick, and they're getting sick. You know, it's scary. So I have this pulled up here. I have to share this. But Rod Stewart, he said that his son, Aiden, 11 years old, by the way, was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance with a suspected heart attack after he collapsed at a football match. Well, if you go back on his information on Twitter and social media, he came out and with an article and said that only triple vaccinated guests are going to be allowed to be invited to his Christmas party.
Yeah.
So was his kid jabbed and
three
all of
times.
A sudden a suspected heart attack? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just like we saw with that
movie.
You know, all these embalmers and morticians were testifying, you know, and some of them were, you know, blurred out their face and changed their voices so you couldn't hear them. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, they were showing some of the stuff that they were pulling out of these cadavers, and it was amazing, and it was really gross, too,
yeah.
What they were doing.
Yeah, thankfully, I don't get grossed out. But, yeah, scary stuff, scary stuff. And, you know, I said this, you know, I think I almost say it every week about Dr. Tenpenny, who said that people would start having ill effects of this vaccine 6 months to 2 years. And, I mean, she is spot on with the timeline here. Spot
yeah.
on. You know, and everybody that has spoken out about this, you know, has been censored, unfortunately.
Yep.
So.
And, you know, Pfizer has internal data, and it reveals about the vaccines and pregnancy. You know, supposedly everybody that's getting vaccinated and stuff, they're having all these miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, with the athletes dropping dead, you know, young kids
yeah.
getting old people diseases, you know, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it's really scary. And, you know, the average Joe Schmo that doesn't do any research and that just listens to their doctor, you know, they really don't know. So you can't almost, like, castrate them because they don't know. You know, but yet the doctors are not telling the truth. I know these damn doctors know the truth. There's no way, unless they're, you know, under a rock and they know the truth. Like, even my chiropractor is in his 70s, and he knows what's going on. He knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily my doctor, you know, in his 40s, you know, he's pretty cool about it. You know, he says, do you want the vaccine? I said, no. I said, look, doc, I've never even gotten a flu shot. I don't want that. And I said, it's not a vaccine. It's a shot, and I don't want it, and we're never going to talk about it again. Well, this was a year ago, and I've seen him a few times since then, and he's never brought it up again.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, and he asked me, too, if I wanted, you know, since I'm an old guy here, if I wanted the pneumonia shot. I told him, nope, you're not shooting me with anything, because personally, I don't know what they've got in that needle. They pull it out of a vial. They put it in a needle. They put it in my arm. You know, it could be a cocktail of the jab and whatever else they say they're going to be giving me.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows anymore?
Well, I'm not an advocate for any vaccines. So anyway, next week we have got on Rita Palma and John Gilmore. I can't wait to have these guys on. They are such a wealth of knowledge. John Gilmore is just unbelievable. So is Rita. And, you know, they're on the opposite side of the state of us, which is fantastic to have them on. So the Autism Action Network and Rita Palmer from My Kids, My Choice. And I'm pretty sure that we are going to go diving deep into these regulations and what's going to happen with legislation in Albany.
Yep.
So, and then the following week, John Salka, Assemblyman John Salka is going to be on. He's going to be talking about a lot of stuff that's going to be happening in Albany. And the week after, that'll have to just be a surprise. You guys will have to tune in. So you could tune in to freedomizerradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, Apple, and I'm missing one here. iHeartRadio, of course, iHeartRadio. We'll be up there with this show and all our other shows. Past shows are on there. We're getting ready to sign out for the night. We hope you enjoyed the show. Bobby Ann, thanks again for being on. You were absolutely fantastic. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. What a week.
Yep, have a good
weekend.
And
there's going to be a heck of a lot more next week to talk about. We're signing out. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.